In the name of Jesus,
amen. Amen.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And then Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." We have not come to the empty tomb, even though it is very early in the morning. We are not Mary, and this is not the tomb. Mary came looking for the dead Jesus. Again, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. What she says, in effect, is this: that they, maybe Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who put Jesus' body there, have taken his dead body and put it somewhere else. She, like John, did not understand that the scriptures, in order to be fulfilled, it must be necessary for the Son of Man to rise from the dead. Then the angel asked her, "Mary, why are you weeping?" And we, East of Eden people, this side of heaven, say, "Well, duh! Because my master, my teacher, my Rabboni is dead. Jesus is dead, and now she cannot find his body to prepare for proper burial." She is distraught. Her eyes are filled with tears. Her nerves are frayed. And she cannot see that Jesus has done exactly what he said he would do, what he promised that he was going to do through the mouth of King David. In Psalm 16, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." It is necessary for the Son of Man to rise from the dead. And so we are not reenacting, if you will, what happened that first day of the week. Again, we are not Mary, and this is not the empty tomb. Notice that in John's gospel, we do not hear the words of the angels in the other gospels, that he is here and that he is risen. For in fact, he is risen, and so he is here. That's exactly the point of Jesus' words to Mary, as he says to her, "Do not cling to me." He says, in effect, "For I have not yet ascended to my Father." Everything was accomplished, but not everything had been delivered. Neither Mary nor the disciples could cling to him as he was in those 40 days after his resurrection. For if he was to be the firstborn of many brothers, he could not stay with them in the same way he had been. And so he says, "Go and tell my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus would not live among them as he had. Just like Lazarus, who had been raised, or the son of the widow at Nain, or the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue, and still others who, after having been reawakened by Christ, went about amongst the people, eating and drinking as they had before. But in his resurrection, Christ would not be returning to this mortal life as before. But do understand, this is not bad news. This is not Jesus telling them that he would no longer be with them. It is as if Jesus were saying, "No, Mary, no disciples, you cannot cling to me now. For I have risen from the dead in order to ascend to my Father and begin a different and eternal life. My resurrection has a different purpose than that of Lazarus and the others who were raised from the dead. For I was raised by the glory of the Father, that I would ascend unto heaven and take up the kingdom and lord over everything. I was raised by the glory of the Father, and therefore what concerns me, Mary, is not your touch, but what you think about my resurrection. Namely, that you should believe in me, that through me I have entered into a different existence, an eternal life. For you must understand that my Father," Jesus says, "who was your enemy in your sin, my Father who had imprisoned the entire world under sin and captivity, my Father whose holiness and righteousness condemns all sinners to hell, he is now your Father. And you are his child. And so Jesus says, go, my brothers." He doesn't say what we expect him to say, what the world would say, given what they have perhaps witnessed these last 4 days. Kind of like, "Go and tell those faithless scoundrels, some of them who denied me in my hour, some who swore falsely about me, and some who even fell away from me, and tell them that such and such is their reward." He does not say that. He says, "Go and tell my brothers." And this could not be a more lovely and comforting and grace-filled word to those sitting there in fear and darkness, with a bad conscience and with the dread of retribution and punishment. Remember, this is the will of my Father, who sent me, that is Jesus, that everyone who looks upon the Son, that is Jesus, and believes in him, that is Jesus, should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Here you hear that whoever clings to Jesus and believes in him is his brother, is his child, is his heir. Therefore, your sin is gone. Your death is defeated. You can come boldly into the throne room of the King, and whatever you ask, covered in the blood of Jesus, your Father now hears you as if you were the Son himself. Jesus says, "He was only my Father. I was the only unique Son. But now, on this Easter morn, he is now your Father and your God. I have opened unto you a new and living way unto God through a curtain that is called my crucified and risen flesh. And that way is open for all sinners. And now you must understand that I am ascending to my Father, and from there, in the almighty power of God, I will deliver the whole world the salvation that I have accomplished, and the salvation that flows from my cross, and I will give this to all people. The salvation that flows through the gaping hole that I have torn through the grave and the casket. For when I speak my word, you cling to me. When I give you my crucified and resurrected flesh, that is my body and blood, you cling to me. And when I forgive you your sins, you cling to me. In life and in death, you are to cling to me only, because I am the only one who is life, and I am the only one who has defeated death. And then I will pull those who cling to me and have clung to me and my word through the same open mouth of the grave that I have come through as well. For I have ascended to my Father, and therefore all things are possible. So, when your heart says to you, if I knew how to atone for my sins, I would walk on needles and I would let nothing daunt me, or I would try to atone for them in some sort of way, by doing some sort of, quote, good work. To that, you are to reply to that deceptive heart of yours. Here's what my brother, the Christ, says. For he says, I am his brother. I am God's child. I am his heir. For you shall never treasure the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come by your merit or your works. Rather, Jesus gives you this resurrection out of pure grace and mercy. For vain the stone, the watch, the seal, but Christ has burst the gates of hell, and death in vain forbids it. Death in vain forbids his rise, and Christ has opened paradise. And so we cling to him and we live, for he is our dearest Savior and our brother. In the name of Jesus, amen.